Roger Evans is leader of the Conservative group on the London Assembly. Roger, why are you a Conservative?
Well, I think it's probably got quite a lot to do with my background, where I grew up. I grew up in the northeast of England. The first job I had there was with the Royal Mail. I found, as a member of their payroll department, that I was dealing with the trade union pretty constantly during the rather troublesome time in the 80s. And we had a lot of industrial action, a lot of problems, and it pretty much turned me off the Labour Party as an alternative in an area which was very strongly Labour, actually. And when I came to London, I was quite surprised by the quality of the area which I lived in at first. I lived in Leytonstone, which was a wonderful place in many ways, but the streets were dirty, the businesses were run down, everyone complained about the council and the amount that it was costing them. I decided to do a bit more than complain. I joined the Conservative Party and I went and stood for the council. And I love doing it, and I really think there is nothing better that you can do to get involved with your community than stand for the local council, because you really find out a lot about the area that you're in. I know more about East London, I suspect, than I do about the place where I grew up or anywhere else in the country.
And you've been an Assembly member for quite a long time.
Yes, I was in here at the start in 2000. I like to say that I've actually seen three mayors because, all right, we've had Boris the Conservative, but we had two different Kens as well. We had the independent Ken and we had the new Labour Ken, which were two quite different administrations, really. So I've seen the place develop from when we were in temporary offices over near Westminster to our current abode in this glorious building, and I've seen what works and what doesn't work, and it's been an interesting journey.
As I've said, you're now the leader of the Conservative group. I always enjoy watching the Conservative Assembly members at Mayor's Question Times, because I can see that particularly in case of some of those members, there's obviously a desire to support the mayor, and clearly you do support a lot of things that the mayor is doing, but also a desire to criticise constructively, cajole, try and get him to go a bit further, perhaps with cutting budgets or shrinking government, devolving power, more power to the boroughs is a theme that comes up quite often. I'm thinking of the ABC gang, you know, Arbour, Boff and Coleman in particular. What, as a group, would you like to see the mayor doing a bit more of?
Well, I think there's evidently some tension there, and understandably so. The mayor was elected by people from right across London. Many of them weren't Conservatives who voted for him, and he had a very wide appeal to people. My group members were elected largely by Conservative outer London boroughs, and they have a set of values which are similar, but some of their priorities are different. And I think what we would like to see from the mayor is a more robust approach to reducing the cost of this building and of other parts of the organisation. I'm thinking particularly of Transport for London and the Police Authority, which are large monolith organisations. They were part of central government, who never really got a grip over them when they were there, and it's been a challenge to get a grip of them since, and it really needs someone to go in there and sort them out cost-wise. I think what we would also like to see is a greater localization of decisions, and that's a theme which runs through a lot of the questions that we ask at Question Time. So, for example, on housing targets, we'd like to see boroughs given more say over the amount of housing they're required to build and over the planning decisions which they make. For transport, we'd like boroughs to have a better say over bus routes. And my colleague Tony Arbour is always talking about bus stops, for example, location of bus stops. Why should something like that be decided top down from an office block in the centre of London for the streets of Hainault and Richmond and places that are miles away?
But then there is this constant tension, isn't there, between how far do you devolve? When does devolving then become an opportunity for people to practice a kind of NIMBYism, which it could be argued is not necessarily for the greater good of London? How do you find the right balance between devolved powers and centralised powers?
Well, London's a set of villages, of course, and a one-size-fits-all approach to London really doesn't work. Some of the central London papers that we get out at committees in Havering, you know, people look as if it's a foreign planet, really, that's imposing things on them. So I think you ignore local people at their peril, and that is one of the reasons that people are disillusioned with politicians now. They just don't feel that their views make any difference. I'd like to see more, say, given to local people. Obviously, you have to explain to people the consequence of their decisions. So, for example, if you benefit from a housing market where the price of your properties are going up hugely, then you're effectively pricing your children and other people who might move to London out of the market. They need homes to be built for them. So there are two sides to this argument, but it's an argument that we should be having in Havering or Hillingdon. It's not an argument which they should be having here and imposing down on people.
One of the things I've been spending quite a lot of time on this week is trying to understand the mayor's budget. Now, this is a major challenge for someone as innumerate as I am, but it has helped to concentrate my mind on, first of all, the limitations on the mayor's powers. People say, you know, Boris, the most powerful Conservative in the country, but in many ways he's not very powerful because he is so dependent on central government for funding, for example. And also, the Assembly itself is not very powerful in relation to the mayor. It's got me thinking about some of the ideas that are floated around for reforming these institutions. Do you have any ideas about that?
We submitted a paper last time the government looked at this, and it would be nice to think an incoming government would take another look at it. One of the things that I would like to see is the Assembly given the opportunity to approve or change the mayor's budget on a straight majority. At the moment, the mayor's budget will survive unscathed because there are 11 Conservatives, and that's over a third of the Assembly. I think it would be more democratic to require a straight majority if we're going to be here and we're going to do something. And I'd like to see that extended to approving the mayor's major strategies as well. So the Assembly would have a say on the transport strategy and the London plan and the economic development strategy. They're the key drivers here. Now, as a consequence of that, I'd also like to see the proportional representation element of the Assembly removed, so it was a first-past-the-post organisation with a direct link to the constituencies that elected them. That would mean usually there would be a political majority. I suspect most of the time it would be Labour, some of the time it would be Conservative, but you wouldn't have to work so closely with small parties to actually get things through.
So let's imagine if that scenario I've just described was actually in place at the moment. What difference would that make to the budget approval process?
Well, it would depend on how many Assembly members have been elected from each party, of course, but it could prove to be quite a consensual process if the Mayor had to take more notice of what the Assembly do. I think, you know, both the mayors have actually been quite good at taking on board what the Assembly has said in the past on the budget. And we've all found ideas that we've had taken on board and used. But there's a difference between having a mayor who listens to you because they're a nice, consensual person, and having a mayor who listens to you because they have to, because you have that democratic power. And it gives the Assembly members more legitimacy.
Many people are anticipating a Conservative national government before too long. In what ways do you think that will affect the way the Mayor and the Assembly go about their work and their ability to do things?
Well, I think that regardless of the government at national level, we're actually going to have to do a lot of work in the coming year to promote the interests of London. Because one of the things I've learned working with people in at government level is there is an awful lot of enthusiasm outside London to take money and resources away from us and spend it elsewhere. And that will continue to be the case, whatever the government is that's in power. So we need to build our links with the government. I think one of the things that we're likely to see is the abolition of the Government Office for London, which would be a good thing because I'm not entirely sure what they do anymore. They seem to spend their time keeping an eye on us and promoting control freakery at the heart of government. And another thing we would see the back of would be the ridiculous Select Committee for London, which has been created without members of Parliament from London on it. But that seems to me to be wasting time and usurping the role of the Assembly. Something I would like to see from a Conservative government although we've had no guarantees about this, is a willingness from ministers and civil servants to appear and give evidence to the Assembly, because over the last 10 years they have resolutely refused to do that.
Just in a nutshell, do you think that the London Mayor should be more powerful in terms of having control over larger areas of policy, for example, over health and over education, rather more like the New York Mayor does?
I think the New York model is a very attractive one. Of course, the one thing the mayor in New York doesn't have so much control over as the mayor here is transport. So the models are different from place to place. Education policy, I think it would be difficult to give the mayor more of, because that would mean taking powers away from the boroughs, and there would be a lot of resistance there, rightly so. Health policy may be a different matter. We have the London Health Commission now, which actually inputs to health policy, and there is a democratic deficit in the way that health is run in London, and the mayor may be a suitable place to put that. The mayor of New York, of course, also has control of museums and culture as well, and so there are a number of things perhaps we could look at rolling into an expanded mayoralty if that decision was taken.
Okay. And finally, Boris is sort of coming up to the midpoint of his term. If you had to give him a mark out of 10 so far, what would you give him?
A mark out of 10? I would give him 8 out of 10. He's done a good job of climbing a pretty steep learning curve for someone who was not involved with London politics before. It is all pretty arcane around here. I think that he could perhaps do a bit more listening to what his supporters in outer London, although we have been pleased to see him come and visit us. We had him in Ilford a couple of weeks ago for a public meeting, and I think we're off to Harrow in March. That should be interesting. I think with more cost control, with more involvement, there's very easily a 10 out of 10 available there.
Roger, thanks very much for your time.